You ever sing the kind of song that's called Around? It's a song that, that's kind of hard to describe, come to think of it. Everybody sings the same verse, don't you see? But they come in at different times and somehow it all fits together. Examples? Okay, Three Blind Mice is one, and so is Row, Row, Row Your Boat, and so is Why Doesn't My Goose Sing As Well As Thy Goose? And I'll bet that at some time in your life, you've sung one of those songs as Around. And that's what we did, only we spiffed it up. See, we started off singing Why Doesn't My Goose as Around. Then we split up, and each of us took a different song, and we sang them all as Around at the same time. Pretty impressive, huh? You bet it was. Old Mr. Sourpuss took the Goose song, Junior took Row, Row Your Boat, and Drover took Three Blind Mice. Never in all of history had two dogs and two buzzards attempted such an amazing musical fiasco in the middle of a tornado. Furthermore, whilst the other three guys were singing the other three songs in a round, I contributed snippets from, you'll never guess, and boy, will you be surprised, from the Hallelujah Chorus. Here's how it went.
Why doesn't my goose sing as well as my goose? Sing as well as my goose.
Sing as well as my goose.
Sing as well as my goose. When I pay for my goose twice as much as thine, and I, who cares about the stupid goose anyway? Three blind mice. Three blind mice.
If you see row, how row, they if run, you row your boat,
see
you get
how
down
they
the
run.
Stream.
They are merrily, 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 merrily,
I told you you'd be shocked, stunned, speechless, impressed beyond description. And sure enough, you were. Anyways, it turned out to be a total knockout song, and we were all thrilled with it. Everyone but Wallace, that is, who was determined to be unthrilled and unimpressed, but nobody cared what he thought anyway. We might have kept right on singing, but for one small detail that you probably forgot. We were taking a ride on a runaway tornado, and all at once, something changed. Maybe the winds slacked off. Maybe the tornado went up or down. Maybe the tornado didn't like our music. But something happened. And the next thing we knew, the tornado had spit us out, so to speak. And we found ourselves, all four of us, blown into the topmost branches of a huge cottonwood tree. And this was a normal cottonwood, the kind with its roots in the ground on planet Earth. The tornado went roaring away, and suddenly we found ourselves surrounded by total silence. Wallace broke the silence with his hacksaw voice. Junior, where are we at?
I don't know, Pa, but I think we're out of the tornado, thank goodness.
It was a cyclone, son.
Tornado.
Cyclone.
Tornado.
Son, it was a cyclone, but never mind, because we have survived, which is wonderful news. But I wonder if them two dogs might have suffered a... You know, we ain't had full grub in several days, Junior, and why don't we check on our buddies and see? Sorry, Wallace. We're over here and doing fine, and we sure appreciate your concern. He heaved a sigh and gave his head a shake. A buzzard is always an optimist, and that's why we get our hearts broke so many times. All right, Junior, we've had all the fun I can stand. It's time to get airborne and hunt grub. It was fun, Wallace. Fun for you, puppy dog, because you've got nothing better to do than goof off and sing silly songs. But we buzzards get paid by the job, yes we do, and no worky, no eat. Come on, Junior, my belly button's rubbing a hole in my backbone. He pushed himself off the limb and went flapping off into the darkness. Junior grinned and waved a wing goodbye and said,
See you next time, doggy.
And then he flew away, leaving Drover and me alone with our thoughts. And with a pretty serious problem. You see, you might have thought our story had reached a happy ending, but that's not the case. Yes, we had just ridden a wild bucking tornado completely into the ground, and yes, we had even managed to spend a couple of hours in Sally Mae's house without getting ourselves strangled or shot. Not bad for one night's work, but now we faced another stern challenge. We were hung up in the topmost branches of a very large cottonwood. And in case you didn't know, we dogs are not tree climbers. We don't climb up trees, and we don't climb down trees either. And to make matters even worse, we had no idea where we and that tree were located. We might have been in Oklahoma, or Kansas, or Nebraska, for all I knew, which means that this story might end with us. Gee whiz, just think about the terrible possibilities. We might starve to death in the top of the tree, or fall to our deaths below, or become orphans and vagabonds in a strange location. And this is the last part of the story, and we're running out of time and space to come up with a happy ending. Pretty sad, huh? You bet it was, but don't give up yet. With nothing better to do, we hung on to our respective branches, and I mean hung on for dear life. We got zero sleep, and I had to listen to Drover whimper, cry, squeak, and moan for the rest of the night. Then, at last, I saw the faint glow of morning appear on the eastern horizon. Knowing that the sun could not possibly rise without a good stern barking from the head of ranch security, I was forced to perform this crucial task from the top of the tree. I mean, if we didn't get that sun barked up, fellers, we might have been stranded in total darkness for days or weeks. So I did my duty and barked it up. And whilst I was in the midst of my bark up the sun procedure, what do you suppose I heard? A door slam. Then, a voice. A voice that sounded slightly familiar. A man's voice which said, if I can remember the exact quotation, which said, "Shut up, you idiot dog." Huh? My goodness. That voice sounded quite a bit like Slim's, and then I glanced down and noticed a house down there on the ground, and a tall, skinny man wearing nothing but underpants and boots standing out on the porch. Holy smokes, that was Slim the cowboy. The tornado had carried us 2 miles down the creek and deposited us in that big cottonwood tree right in front of Slim's house. What a terrific stroke of luck. And all at once, I was filled with joy and began barking with all my heart and soul. Stroke of luck. And Drover added a few squeaks. His squeaking and my massive barking made just enough noise to draw Slim's soggy red eyes away from ground level and up to the top of the tree. And at last, yippee, he saw us there. His eyes popped open and his jaw dropped several inches. And he said, this is an exact quote, he said, "Good home. I've got huge barking squirrels in my tree. Where's my gun?" No, we weren't squirrels. It was us, Hank and Drover, his loyal dogs. Okay, it appeared that he was joking. You know Slim and his warped cowboy sense of humor. It gave me a little scare. Well, he got a big laugh out of our miserable condition. Yes, while we were up there clinging for dear life to branches that were rolling like ocean waves in the wind, he got big chuckles. But suddenly the laughter stopped. He scratched his head and squinted up at us and said, "I wonder how a guy goes about rescuing two ranch mutts from the top of a cottonwood. 'Cause I ain't fixing to climb up there myself." How did he do it? Well, he called Loper on the phone and Loper came. He had spent most of the night in the cellar, so you can imagine how glad he was to see us dogs up in Slim's tree. not glad. Much grumbling and muttering. But by then, he and Slim had figured out how we got there and were ready to call it a good deal. I mean, the tornado hadn't killed anyone or destroyed any ranch property, so they decided to count their blessings. They got us down, but it was no instant rescue. It took them several hours, and it ended up involving several of the neighbors. Chainsaws, ropes, ladders, and a windmill repair truck with a telescoping crane. Loper had to pay 2 hours of rig time on Jay Cox's windmill truck, but I'm sure he considered it a huge bargain. He got his dogs back. That was the important thing. Well, we had dodged another bullet and had... Oh, I almost forgot. Sally Mae never did learn the awful truth, that her little stinkpot son had led us into the house that night. But I heard through the grapevine, so to speak, that she found fleas in Alfred's bed. They weren't mine. Anyways, it was a great moment in history when Drover and I finally made it back to headquarters and to our gunny sack beds, which is where this had all started, with me and Drover trying to catch a few winks of sleep between assignments. And that was exactly what I plan to do now. After saving the ranch from the swirling killer tornado, I figured I was entitled to a few winks. I just about drifted off into a pleasant dream about Miss Beulah the collie when I heard Drover's voice.
Hank, are you awake?
Merk, snark, not if I can help it.
I was just thinking. Remember that song I wrote about barking at a funnel-shaped cloud? It turned out just that way. We really barked at one. Do you reckon I can see into the future? Gosh, maybe I'm a prophet or something.
I raised my head and managed to open both eyes a crack. Drover, one of the great challenges we face in this life is trying to distinguish between prophecy and indigestion. Yours was indigestion. Good night.
It's the middle of the day.
Shut your trap.
Good night, Hank.
And with that, we drifted off into our respective dreams and ended another exciting adventure on the ranch. Case closed.
Snark, perk, sassafras.